Could we also turn for a little time to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 4. And they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. We were reminded already today of the very wonderful grace of God and also of the government of God, which are found together in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust, my dear brethren, that you and I value, are thankful for the joy and privilege of the presence of our Lord Jesus, and are also thankful for the very wonderful grace and the very great faithfulness of the government of our Lord Jesus Christ toward us all through the journey. I say that because of what we read here in connection with the ark. You remember back in the 25th chapter of Exodus, the Lord had said to his beloved people, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Do we grow weary of such words as these? I hope not. The yearning desire of the heart of our Lord for the company of his people, as though he would look down upon them and say, "I know that when your wanderings are ended, I'm going to have the joy of your company there in that temple, but I don't want to have to wait that long. I want the joy of your company during the wandering through the wilderness." And he made provision for that in a most remarkable way. Moses was called up to the top of Mount Sinai. And there were given to him the two tables of stone. And on those two tables were written the commandments of Jehovah by the very hand of God. He comes down from the mountain and he hears in the camp the sound of guilt and revelry. And he takes those two tables of stone and throws them to the ground and they're broken to pieces. He knew that if they were carried into a camp, Israel would be smitten before the Lord with those tables of stone in their midst. Now, if we didn't know what God did next, what would we imagine? What would we think God might do? I know one thing that I would think. I would surely say, well, God can never do that again. God can never give them those two tables of stone again. He'll have to at least reduce their number to 9, 7, whatever, or perhaps reduce their severity. But God says to Moses, "Come back up again," and there is given to him the second time two tables of stone with the very same words that were written the first time. But those two tables of stone are placed within this very ark that you and I have been reading about. The delight and the purpose of the heart of the Lord is the company of his people. And in this beautiful way, provision is made for the heart of the Lord and for the joy of his people that he might be there in their midst. And the two tables of stone are placed within that ark, made of wood, covered with gold. Over it, as you and I know, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. But we would notice, if we took the time to turn to Hebrews, that there was something else also within that ark. Within that ark, there were those two tables of stone which would speak of the holiness of the person of our Lord Jesus. But also there was a golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded. Those two things also were in that ark, and they accompanied Israel all through their years of wandering and their months of murmuring. The golden pot that had manna, oh, what a trophy of the very wonderful grace of God. How they had murmured. You and I wouldn't do such a thing, would we? We know very well when we read the account that we can't point the finger at those Israelites of long ago. And yet, in spite of their murmuring, what did God do? Sent that manna so faithfully, 6 days a week, all through those many years. He sent them that manna in his wonderful and matchless grace. Oh, well, may we sing of that 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yes, beloved, the grace of God has accompanied you and me every step of the journey, and we need it too, do we not? Oh, we little realize how much we need the grace of God, how much we owe to the grace of God. How thankful we should be for the grace of God that accompanies us. We don't read of very much thanksgiving on the part of Israel for that manna that was provided. I hope you and I are thankful for the abounding grace of God that has followed us every step of the journey. And will be ours until that day when we reach home. What would we do without that grace? I remember my father saying one time that he was speaking with a dear brother who, I think, found it very difficult to go and try to show love toward a brother whom he felt had acted unkindly toward him. My father was trying to encourage him to do this. Oh, he said, Brother Heho, I just don't have the grace for it. His answer was, Brother, he giveth more grace. How much do you need? Now, this is true, dear brethren. Is there anyone here that lacks grace? You know you do. I know I do. We all know that in ourselves we lack that which is ours, the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. That meets us in every need along the way. But also in that same ark there was Aaron's rod that budded. Now I know that there are various ways in which that rod could be looked at. It did produce buds and blossoms and almonds and is a very beautiful picture in that. But it was given at the time of the rebellion of Korah, of Dathan, and of Abiram. And I believe we could look upon it in part as a symbol of the government of God. The rod. Aaron's rod that budded. Looking at it in that light, I believe we see two things in that ark that accompanied Israel all through their wanderings. The grace of God and the government of God. Have you ever felt his hand in government? Indeed we have, dear brethren, have we not? We have felt it personally. We have felt it in our families. We have felt it in our assemblies.